Good day to you all, and welcome to the service for today, for Sunday. My name is David Chapman, and for those who don't recognize me, I've not always been called David Chapman. Well, yeah, I have, but also been called other names as well. When I started in the RCMP, I was known as Baby Dave because I have such a youthful-looking face, as you can tell. Later, I became known as Father Dave because I was such a good listener with the clients, and according to my staff sergeant, I was able to calm situations down just before my presence. Now I'm known just as Papa. So before we start on the sermon today, I'd just like to open in prayer. Dear Lord, we just come to you today that I have the words that you wish me to say, and that these words are your words and not my words, Lord. Just pray that there's somebody out there listening to this, Lord, that this will touch their hearts, and that everybody else enjoys this talk. In Jesus' name, amen. So this talk started a few weeks ago, but I got bounced around a few times just because of scheduling problems. So 3 weeks ago, my wife and I celebrated our 40th wedding anniversary. And this is where this talk was supposed to start. I was going to talk on anniversaries in the Bible. So I looked up anniversary in the dictionary, and the dictionary says it's commemoration of celebration of an event. For example, today is Mother's Day. So let's celebrate the anniversary of Mother's Day. Let's remember them and the vital role that they play in our lives, our children's lives, and nurturing of the family here and around the world. They are vital. So if we are to commemorate or celebrate the anniversary of Mother's Day, what's that going to look like in your house? Well, in my house, we have our daughter still with us, so hopefully she's going to do the dinner meal for her mother. Then I thought, well, okay, anniversary. Let's see what it says in the Bible about the anniversary. So I went to the Bible, and depending on the translation, there's one occurrence in the Bible of anniversary. In Deuteronomy 16, verse 6, this is the NIV, the New Living Translation. They talk about the feast of the Passover. Except in this place he will choose as a dwelling for his name. There you must sacrifice the Passover in the evening when the sun goes down on the anniversary of your departure from Egypt. Then in Exodus 12:6, you must keep it until the 14th day of the month, talking about the Passover. Jewish 14th day of the month, according to the Jewish calendar, when the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel will slaughter the animals at twilight. Now, their days are different days than ours because they're using the Jewish calendar, and we're on the Gregorian calendar, so you'd have to try to figure out when and where that's going to happen. So, kids, if there's any kids listening, do you know what the Passover is all about? Well, this is where Moses goes to the Pharaoh and says, Pharaoh, let my people go. And Pharaoh hardens his heart, so Moses has to do this several times. Until at last, the last time he says, all right, Pharaoh, if you're not going to let my people go, this is what's going to happen. That all the firstborn in the kingdom will be put to death and die. Seeing you're not letting my people go. So Moses went to the Jewish people and told them what they had to do. This is when they marked the house door frames with the blood of a lamb or a goat. then we'd eat what is left of the meat of that animal, and with bitter herbs, and they'd have unleavened bread, so bread that has not risen. And if there was not enough for the other people to have around them, they would share that. And at that night, the angel of the Lord, who was tasked to kill the or have the firstborns killed, went around, and when he saw the blood on the doorposts of the house, he would go by them and nothing would happen. And then the next day, when Pharaoh saw this, he also saw his firstborn son was dead as well. So he let the people of Israel go. Now for this year, Passover began on March 27th and ended in the evening of April the 4th. But while I was researching this talk about an anniversary, I realized that this talk was going to end up more on commemoration or celebration, like the anniversary, celebrating because they were no longer under Egyptian rule and were heading to the promised land with God leading them. In the mid-80s, James Dobson of Focus on the Family told us to celebrate everything. For example, celebrate a good report card, a healthy doctor's appointment, the visit of a loved one. Today, COVID seems to have robbed us of this ability to celebrate. This couldn't be further from the truth. God gives us many ways to both celebrate the Christian faith as a whole and our personal walk with God. Now, when I told Barb, my wife, what I was talking about, she passed on a story that I could use. And it talks about she was attended a talk from a missionary from India who was given a seminar on keeping Christ in Christmas. Barb said she was talking about one instance where an East Indian lady said that the Christian religion is so boring because we only have two big celebrations, Easter and Christmas, where the Hindus, they have many gods. They have over 100 gods, so they can choose how many celebrations to have with which god they want to have that with. So again, looking up celebrate in the Bible, I found that there was 506 verses of celebration in the New Testament and 60 verses found in the Old Testament. So what is it to celebrate? So I thought I'd look that up. And it is to commemorate, observe, or honor a day or a situation, a day to enjoy oneself, and referring a bit to the Bible, to kill the fatted calf and have that fatted calf as a meal. You can praise, glorify, eulogize, honor, and to pay homage by singing singing and having a hymn about the event. This past year has taken away some of our joy out of life, and we don't feel like celebrating much. But you still can at this time, because we know who's in control. Matthew 6:25, the same God who created life in you can now be trusted with the details of your life. Matthew 6:31-32, worry shows lack of faith in understanding God. During these times, you can still celebrate Easter, Christmas, and birthdays, for example, and even Mother's Day today. How about coming to church? How can you celebrate coming to church? Well, let's see, how do you prepare for coming to church? If it's like anybody else, you've got to get the kids up and no sleeping in. Of course, that's met with great anticipation for the kids who grumble about having to get up. And then you got to get the kids up to dress them, And then they've got a, there's that argument about, oh, I don't want to wear that today. Then you have to feed them and yourselves breakfast without a food fight breaking out or just a fight arguing. Once you've got everybody dressed and ate their breakfast, now it's time to leave. So now you go out to the car and try to put people in their seat belts, and for the little ones, their car seats. Of course, they're happy about that. Then coming to the church, you possibly have to fight with the weather trying to get them to church on time. Here in northern Alberta, that can be a challenge in the winter, seeing we get a little bit of snow around. Then you get everybody into church and get everybody sat down. And then with a big sigh, you go, huh, we made it on time. And all of a sudden, one of the kids say, Dad, I got to go to the bathroom. Or, no, I need to go to church, kids' church. So you have a little grumble, and you, what does it mean to celebrate coming to church? And we can celebrate coming to church by preparing ourselves. Celebrate the goodness of God. Nowadays, with all the music apps around, you can always stop from what you're doing, put on some praise music, and get your mind prepared to enjoy the communion with God. I know that helps me quite a bit. Our son John and his family have not had the privilege of physically attending church for over a year now. They have found it difficult, but are still staying in touch with their group from church. And you can celebrate by praising God, celebrate by reading the Bible, or just phoning up a friend and ask them, a friend that goes to church, say, look, I'm feeling down, I think it's time we should talk about the Lord for a bit. That seems to lift me up out of my little bit of blue depression. In Matthew 11:29, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. So what are we talking about? Yoke. We're not talking about an egg. Here we're talking about pairing up with somebody, pairing up two animals when they, for example, two horses or two cattle, you put a yoke around their neck and yoke them together so that they can pull together and work together. And share the load. That's the same with us. We can work in pairs to join and connect, bond with each other, and help each other out. In Ecclesiastes 4, verse 9 and 10, okay, here's where the kids from, the boys have their memory verse. It goes, two people are better than one, because they have a good return for their labor. If either of them falls down, one can help the other, but pity anyone who falls and has no one to help them up. That was the Boys Brigade's memory verse last time they got together. Now this also brings to my mind a picture that is hung on quite a few walls in different houses, of Footprints in the Sand. This is a poem written by Leona Lewis. It's also a hymn. It goes as follows. You walked with me, footprints in the sand, and helped me understand, where am I going? You walked with me when I was all alone, with so much unknown along the way. Then I heard you say, I promise you, I'm always there. When your heart is filled with sorrow and despair, I'll carry you. When you need a friend, you'll find my footprints in the sand. I see my life flash across the sky. So many times I've been so afraid. Oh, and just when I thought I'd lost my way, you gave me strength to carry on. That's when I heard you say, I promise you, I'm always there. When your heart is filled with sorrow and despair, and I will carry you when you need a friend, and you'll find my footprints in the sand. When I'm weary, well, I know you'll be there, and I can feel you when you say, I promise you, oh, I'm always there. When your heart is filled with sadness and despair, I'll carry you. When you need a friend, you'll find my footprints in the sand. When your heart is full of sadness and despair, I'll carry you. When you need a friend, you'll find my footprints in the sand. And in that picture, you're seeing, referring to yourself and Jesus walking beside you, then all of a sudden there's only one set of footprints, and you kind of think, well, whose footprints are those? Was it Jesus that left or me that left? Well, nobody left. It's just that here Jesus has picked you up and carried you along until you were able to walk on your own again. And then there's the two sets of footprints. Stormy O'Martin, in her book, The Power of Praying Through Fear, states that we need to decide to trust God and not our fear. She goes on to say, God knows more than we do. He has been around longer than we have. Actually, he has always been, and he knows everything. It is safe to trust his all-knowingness instead of our limited knowledge. Psalm 34, verse 8, O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. Our prayer should be, Lord, I vow to trust with you all my heart and not listen to the voice of my fear. I bring every fear I have to you. Show me steps I can take to prove my trust in your goodness toward me and help me take those steps. Now, with masks being worn by everybody today, it's kind of hard to tell people how you feel or how show people how you feel, express your smile and your happiness, because that smile is hidden from everybody. What you can do is, when you trust in God, you can celebrate, because God is always there. He knows everything. He protects you. Now, how do you get that joy across? I know a couple of instances that I was told about that I didn't realize that, geez, there's something different about you. But I didn't even say anything to these people. I just carried on doing what I had to do. This is when I was a policeman. And it turns out that they realized I had something different, that I had something that they were interested in. And they would ask friends or ask people if that know me that, hey, he's a little different. How come? And they'd say, well, he goes to church. He's a Christian. And he leads his life by example, by following what God has to say. Oh, they would say, now I understand. So how can we show people nowadays how to act? Well, we can celebrate. We can celebrate the day. We can celebrate the hour. And you can celebrate pretty much anything. Just celebrate the fact that the God that you believe in is here with you. Now, has this ever happened to any one of you? Somebody mentioning something that you didn't know about? How do you feel when you were celebrating? Just think about that. Are you sad and glum? Or are you happy and glad to be where you are and enjoying your time with everybody? Excuse me. How about singing and praising God? How do you feel when you sing? A favorite song comes on, what used to be the radio, whatever they use nowadays, and how does that make you feel? That lifts up your mood, brightens your day. And you're glad to see people, overjoyed to be in church with your brothers and sisters. People will still see your actions of joy and want to be included. As humans, we may find this hard to do, but I find if I'm in such a slump, just talking to a brother about God gets me excited, gets me out of that slump. Even going home and putting on some praise music and start singing and praising God just changes that mood right away. If you need a reason or a special occasion to celebrate, the Bible has some ideas for you. In the Old Testament, one of those celebrations would be what's called in the Jewish faith, Feast of Weeks, or what we call Pentecost. And this is occurring this year, May 22nd and 23rd. There is a reason to celebrate. But you don't need a reason to do that. You can celebrate every day, all day, at any time. So my challenge to you today is, can you be in a celebratory frame of mind, realizing there's no need to fear anything because God is in control of everything? And so celebrate that fact, that there's nothing to fear because you know Christ has died on the cross for you, and that your faith is in Jesus. And if your faith is in Jesus, what can happen? Does God want you to be fearful? Not at all. My challenge to you today is, can you be in a celebratory frame of mind, realizing there is no need to fear anything because of God's control, and to celebrate that fact? For those of you who are Christians and want to be able to be happy again and not fear, I would suggest that you contact the church or a friend to answer any of your questions and to find out how to be able in a celebratory frame of mind through Jesus Christ. I think I'd just like to close. Dear Lord, we thank you for your power. We thank you for your omnipotence, that you're everywhere, you know everything, and you're around us all. You're there to carry us when we're down, and you're there to celebrate with us. Lord, we just pray that this message would find people, give them some skills on how to be celebratory, get their message across by what they do, just by their actions, by knowing you and living the way that you would have them live. We thank you for this time, Lord Jesus. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.